Let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 14 once again. As we look at this very important passage in God's Word. Romans chapter 14. While you are finding your place, let me just remind you that Romans 14 is an immensely practical portion of God's Word because it deals with a struggle that so many of us as Christians face in our Christian experience. Romans 14 is about how we as believers treat one another in those areas of behavior where God's Word has not given us a specific command or a clear-cut direction. These are the gray areas, the debatable areas, the non-essentials in life, the morally neutral issues of life where godly Christians can go either way and still be in God's will. We're not talking about those matters that clearly involve a command from the Lord. When God's Word says, you shall not, or you shall, well, that settles it. There's no question, there's no debate at that point. There's no ambiguous gray area. God has given us a command, and we either do it or we don't do it. But a lot of questions in life are not so definitive. And that's where we often run into questions and disagreements and conflicts with other believers about what we should do. And Romans 14 gives us some principles to help us decide what to do in those areas. Last week we noted that when God communicates truth to us, who are living some 2,000 years after the Word of God was written, He generally does so by giving us principles. And we said that a principle is a truth that transcends time and culture. It's a principle, it's a truth that is valid for anyone, anywhere, and at any time. And so when Paul uses first century illustrations in Romans 14, like eating meat that's been offered to an idol, which is probably not something we've had to deal with, our responsibility is to see the principle that's being taught by that illustration. And there are several important principles located throughout Romans 14 which form the skeleton on which this whole passage is built. Last week we looked at verse 3, in which we find the first principle, which is don't pass judgment on one another. Some Christians choose to eat anything. Some Christians choose to eat just vegetables. It's a non-issue. Whatever you choose to eat, don't pass judgment on your brother who chooses to eat something differently than you do. Eat meat to the glory of God. Eat your veggies to the glory of God. Whatever you do, don't judge, don't criticize, don't find fault with each other. Now this brings us down to verse 5 of Romans 14. And we want to look at this passage this morning, verses 5 through 12. Let me read it for you. Romans 14, verse 5. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Now, the issue that Paul is thinking about here in this section of the chapter concerns the celebration of certain days that had some kind of religious significance. The Old Testament Jews, of course, observed many different feast days and holy days in accordance with the Lord's instruction to them. And now, in Paul's day, many Jews were being saved and were being added to the church. And so the question arose, what should be done about the celebration of those days that were significant to these Jews? Probably the most obvious question concerned the celebration of the Sabbath, which was commanded by God to be observed by the Jews during the Old Testament period. Sabbath day in the Old Testament, of course, was Saturday, the seventh day of the week. But after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on the first day of the week, Sunday, Christians began to worship on Sunday to give honor to the Lord's resurrection. And some of these newly converted Jews had a hard time giving up the Old Testament Sabbath celebration on Saturday. So what should they do? Should they continue to worship on Saturday, the Sabbath? Should they even make it a demand that all Christians worship on Saturday? Because after all, that was something that was instructed by God in the Old Testament. Well, we know historically that the earliest members of the church, the very first believers in the new church, did indeed worship on Saturday. Just because most of those early believers were Jews, and it just seemed natural to continue their practice of Sabbath worship. They probably made some significant changes in how they worshiped, but the day remained the same. They just continued to worship on Sabbath because that's what they had grown accustomed to. But gradually, as more and more Gentiles were being added to the church, and Sunday became the most joyous day of the week, because every Sunday it reminded them of the reality of the resurrection, which was the basis of their faith, gradually they began to worship on Sunday, and the church eventually changed its day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. It's important to understand that there is no clear New Testament commandment instructing us to worship on Sunday. It's what we do because that's what developed in the early church as a result of honoring the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how was this situation now to be handled? What principle applies for both Jews and Gentiles that resolves the question of what day we should worship, as well as how do we celebrate other religious holy days? Well, look in verse 5 to begin with. Paul begins by saying, one person esteems. Stop right there. The one person seems specifically to refer to the weaker brother that we talked about last Sunday, the immature believer, the one who has a preference for one day over another. This believer, the weaker believer, thinks that it's important to observe the day that God commanded for people to worship, which in his case would have been Saturday, the Old Testament Sabbath. He believes strongly that there can only be one proper day of worship. And other holy days also needed to be celebrated as they were intended on their particular day. But also in verse 5, you notice in that second phrase, it says, while another, okay, you notice that phrase there, another believer, the another refers to now the stronger believer, who believes that all days are alike. A day is a day is a day, as far as the other believer is concerned. It doesn't matter to him which day is celebrated as a day of worship. he esteems or he judges, he feels convicted that all days are alike. It doesn't matter to him which day is chosen. Let me give you an illustration. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. With all due respect, it doesn't matter to me. It's a man-made tradition. Some people think it has significant religious meaning, and they can do what they want. They can choose to celebrate it any way they want. They can worship, they can not worship, whatever. It's their preference, and it doesn't matter to me what they do. My conscience does not compel me to observe Ash Wednesday. But my conscience does compel me to do something that is far more important. Look at verse 6. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. What Paul is saying, quite simply there, is what I do, whether I choose to observe one day over another, whether I choose to eat meat, or whether I choose to abstain from eating meat, my conscience dictates that everything that I do must be done to honor the Lord. That's the key point. Everything that any of us as believers do must be done to bring honor to the Lord and to give him thanks for what he has done for us. This then becomes principle number two. Everything must be done to honor the Lord and to give him thanks. If you choose to celebrate the Sabbath, if you choose to worship on Sunday, if you choose to eat anything, if you choose to eat only vegetables, do it out of a heart of thanks for what God has given to you and honor him in your decision. That's the most important thing, not the ritual of observing or not observing some special day. It's the attitude of your heart in how you deal with those matters that Paul says is important. The passage that Dale read in our scripture reading this morning speaks about this. Let me read a portion of it again, beginning of verse 16. Where Paul says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink, or with regard to a festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath. Those were some of those days that were celebrated in the Old Testament. Paul says these things are a shadow of things to come. But the substance, the reality of these things belongs to Christ. And so he says, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism, on the worship of angels, on going in details about visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind. All these rituals, all these things that people sometimes think are so important, and they strive to carefully keep and maintain these specific activities, but notice what happens. And not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints, grows with a growth that is from God. In other words, these people, some people, were so intent on observing all these rituals that they lost hold of the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were separated from the Lord Jesus. They left Jesus behind in the process of observing all these special days and rituals. Paul says that's the problem. That's the problem. If you want to observe some holy day, fine. If you want to abstain from observing some holy day, fine. Do it to honor God. Do it to please him. Do it to thank him for what he has done for you. last few verses in Romans 14, verses 5 through 12, give us three simple but profound reasons why we should honor the Lord in everything we do. Number one, verses 7 and 8, as believers, we belong to the Lord. That's the first thing. Paul says, for none of us lives to himself, none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Our little insignificant sphere of existence, this environment in which we live our lives, is not the center of the universe. We don't live for ourselves. We don't die for ourselves. We don't live to please ourselves. We don't live to exalt ourselves. We are created for a higher calling, to live for God, to serve Him, to honor Him. And because we belong to Him, that needs to be the highest priority in our lives, to serve Him, to honor Him with everything that we have. 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. You don't own your own life anymore. You are bought with a price. God owned you. He owned you because He created you. He owned you because He saved you. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So we need to honor the Lord in everything because we belong to the Lord. Number two, verse 9. As the Lord, God is sovereign over everything. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that we might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. Christ died so that we might be freed from our sin. He is the ultimate power over sin. And He died also to make us His blood-bought children. As a father has the right to control his children, God the Father has the right to control everything we do. He has the prerogative to dictate to us how we are to live our lives as the children of God. He is the Lord. He is sovereign over us and everything in this world, and so we must honor Him. And number three, as the Lord, we will give an account of ourselves to Him someday. Verses 10, 11, and 12. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will have to answer for our behavior as believers. You all know that. We will not answer before the Lord in order to establish our salvation, but we will have to stand before the Lord in order to determine whether or not what we have done in this life brought honor and praise to the Lord. That is the basis on which God is going to determine our future rewards in heaven, how we have lived as believers. We will stand before Jesus as the judge someday and give an account of ourselves for how we've conducted ourselves in this world. So Paul asked them some very important questions. He says, why pass judgment on your brother? Why find fault with how your brother behaves himself? The point of the questions is this. When you stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to give an account of yourself to me. And I'm not going to have to give an account of myself to you. But all of us will have to give an account to the judge, to the Lord Jesus Christ, as to how we have lived our lives. And how we have lived our lives then will determine the rewards that we will receive as the children of God. It's my responsibility to live my life today in such a way that God receives glory in everything, so that He is honored, so He is pleased, so that I give Him thanks for everything, because someday I will stand before Him and He'll want to know what I've done with my life. And even more so than specific activities, things that we have done or not done, is going to be the attitude of our hearts with which we have served Him here in this life. So whether I observe some special day or choose to think of all days as simply another opportunity to serve the Lord, my pressing concern is to honor Him, to give Him thanks, to exalt Him with my life. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, so whether we are at home or away, that is, here in this life or whether we are in heaven, we make it our aim to please Him. Why? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that everyone may receive what is due for what he has done in this body, whether good or evil. So don't pass judgment on one another because your brother chooses to do something or eat something that you might find objectionable. That's not a reason to judge your brother. Don't look down your brother because he makes different choices than you in these acceptable, in these debatable areas, in these non-essentials. If he chooses to do something differently, fine. You're not answerable to him. He's not answerable to you. But we are both answerable to the Lord Jesus Christ, before whom we will have to stand someday and share with him how we indeed have lived our lives. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, such a simple but such an important principle this morning. It's so easy to get caught up in all kinds of mundane activities that really are so unimportant when we really think about it. Even celebration of days that at one point in the history of your people may have been important, really perhaps not so important today. But the point is not to be so concerned with observance of rituals, special days, holidays, all these other man-made holidays that people have presented to us through the ages. Our primary responsibility as your people is to honor you in every decision we make. And we need to remember that, Father, as it applies to us and to our fellow believers, not to judge them because of what they do, not to judge them in the decisions that they make, not to look down upon them because of any decision they make, but to know in our own heart, in the intimacy of our relationship with you, that what we do, the decisions that we make, have been done, Father, to please and honor you above everything else. May that be the pressing concern for every one of us in every decision that we make, knowing that someday we will stand before the Lord to give an account of how we have lived, how we have treated our brothers and sisters in Christ. Speak to us, Father, about these issues again. Apply these truths to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.